What exactly happened at this Scarborough business complex? What we're learning about a night that turned very violent, very fast. Bullets fly, six people hurt, and the mystery surrounding the activities allegedly taking place behind those doors. Good evening. Turns out police were never even called to the area. The victims all showing up at hospital themselves.
An incident with no shortage of intrigue or irritation from those who work nearby. CTV's Janice Golding is live at the scene near Midland and the 401. Janice.
Nathan, there are a lot of questions being expressed by people who work in this complex, as well as a lot of anxiety. Police, meanwhile, are calling this an ongoing active investigation as they try to piece together what exactly happened here overnight. No one answered the doorbell today.
Hello?
Nor a subsequent knock on the door. But this is where neighboring business people say,
hello?
Six people were shot overnight.
Hello, is there anyone here?
Well, I sometimes come to work at night and I see a lot of cars and I hear music coming from downstairs.
Arif Samji works next door and says he often sees people pulling up late in the evening.
A mix of men and women. They're all dressed up. I mean, nice cars outside as well. So, yeah, you definitely know it's something party or something is going on.
And while no one CTV spoke to has been inside the unit, there was plenty of speculation from people who work nearby.
I've heard rumors that there's a casino in the property and it goes after hours, so that's a concern of ours here.
People think it's gambling, I don't know. I see people nighttime, lots of people after 11, 12.
Police say they weren't notified by anyone from the business itself about the 1:30 a.m. shooting.
We got called for people coming into the hospital suffering from gunshot wounds. We went to the hospital. That's where our investigation began. And then the investigation pointed us to a scene on Midland Avenue just south of Highway 401.
Police say five suspects entered a unit in the commercial building and robbed the occupants. During the robbery, shots rang out. In all, six people were hurt, either hit directly by bullets, shrapnel, or ricochets.
You see, there are bullet holes here, bullet holes there. That went through my unit door.
Sally Akbarali owns a neighboring costume shop and says this isn't the first time shots have been fired at the industrial complex. She calls the repeated gunplay concerning.
I didn't know it was rented out because they operate obviously after hours, and we're closed like 5 o'clock. We're home, so we don't know what's happening.
Oh, there bullet at that window and couple bullets in it. Or here.
Steve Jackalowski, who owns the pub across the way, also remembers a previous shooting and says a second incident in 2 years is very alarming.
Very bad, you know, it's scary. Nighttime, I leap from back door, I don't know what's going to happen.
None of the injuries were life-threatening, although one person had to be transported to a trauma hospital with serious wounds. Police say they're canvassing the area and looking for security video. They also call the shooters armed, violent, and dangerous, and are asking for the public's assistance to help provide them with any information. Reporting live, I'm Janice Golding. Now back to Nathan.
All right, thank you, Janice. Next, the CTV News investigates a new insight into corruption within the GTA's tow truck industry.
Corruption that spread to an OPP officer in a case that promises to be just the tip of the iceberg. CTV's John Woodward has the story.
Anything to say for the sentencing today?
Constable Bindo Schoen was silent as he left Superior Court in Toronto last week after a guilty plea for his role in corruption related to the GTA's cutthroat tow truck industry. Admitting in court, instead of following the policy of the first available tow truck, he sent more than $500,000 worth of towing jobs to businesses run by this man, Steve Pillay. Seen here on the reality TV show Heavy Rescue 401 on Discovery, which, like CTV, is a division of Bell Media. He's also given interviews to CTV News Toronto.
You never know, you know, what you're going to get into. You know.
Of all the tows in a 2-year period, about 78% of them were sent to companies controlled by Pillay. About 250 tows, more than two a week. The pair communicated regularly over the phone, conversations intercepted by the OPP. But that surveillance was interrupted when Constable Schoen recognized OPP surveillance officers and he stopped referring tows. Officers charged him with breach of trust and accepting a benefit. Hardly the only set of crimes related to the GTA's troubled tow truck industry. Last year, court heard how the Toronto Police's Project Kraken cracked down on tow trucks involved in violent heists. There have also been arsons, murders, and one guilty plea last week relating to obstruction of justice, covering up evidence in a shooting at this Scarborough gas bar.
Our hope is, of course, that the message gets out, the criminal activity subsides. I don't think it'll ever go away. There's too much money in this towing business in terms of their kickbacks and commissions that they receive.
In giving Schoen a suspended sentence for breach of trust, Justice Gillian Roberts said the fact that this was a highly competitive industry rife with problems should have resulted in the police behaving with scrupulous care. Rather than being part of the solution, however, Mr. Schoen became part of the problem. But as for whether Schoen got paid, the judge said no evidence of personal gain means the Crown has not proved an aggravating factor. It does not mean the defense has proved that there was no personal gain. Three other OPP officers are still facing related charges, as is Pillay. Those have not yet been proven in court.
John Woodward, CTV News.
And we want to hear from you. If there are stories you want us to look into, here are some ways you can reach us. You can call 416-384-6397 or send an email to investigate@ctv.ca. You can also visit our website for other secure and anonymous options. You'll find it all at ctvnewstoronto.ca/investigates.
In York Region, police are releasing surveillance footage of a suspect wanted in connection with a sexual assault. The victim, a 91-year-old woman. Video shows the suspect walking in a residential neighborhood of Vaughan. Police say the victim was walking on a path near Steeles and Whitney Place on May 13th when she was approached by an unknown man. The man touched the woman in a sexual manner. She screamed and the man ran off. Police are asking anyone with any information to contact them.
We turn south of the border next to compelling and explosive testimony at the hearing into the January 6th insurrection on Capitol Hill.
Stunning revelations from a former aide in Donald Trump's White House. CTV's Zoraida Allman is live with more. Zoraida.
Nathan, Cassidy Hutchinson describes in detail what was going on in the White House in those moments leading up to and during the riots on January 6th. She describes an angry Donald Trump who at one point screams at his Secret Service detail trying to keep him from going up to the Capitol during the attack.
Former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson describes an irate Donald Trump in the moments leading up to the January 6th attack on the Capitol. In pre-recorded testimony, the former aide to then Chief of Staff Mark Meadows testified that Trump was upset the crowd was not being allowed in to fill the rally space where he was addressing supporters, despite being told they were armed, demanding security checkpoints be removed.
I was in the vicinity of a conversation where I overheard the president say something to the effect of, you know, I don't effing care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me. Take the effing mags away. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol from here. Let the people in. Take the effing mags away.
Just to be clear, Ms. Hutchinson, is it your understanding that the president wanted to take the mags away and said that the armed individuals were not there to hurt him?
That's a fair assessment.
Hutchinson told the hearing the White House was aware of the potential for violence in the days leading up to January 6th, but didn't act on it.
Did not act on those concerns would be accurate.
She also testified that after he spoke at the rally, Donald Trump wanted to be driven to the Capitol, at one point trying to grab the steering wheel from Secret Service staff when they refused.
The president said something to the effect of, "I'm the effing president. Take me up to the Capitol now." To which Bobby responded, "Sir, we have to go back to the West Wing." The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol." Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel.
She testified Trump was warned by White House counsel that they would be charged with, quote, every crime imaginable if Trump went to the Capitol.
And Hutchinson also testified that when Donald Trump released a statement condemning the riots the following day, it was only after advisors told him he needed it, quote, for cover to avoid being removed from office. I'm Zoraida Allman. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thank you, Zoraida. We're going to switch gears and take a look outside. It's a beautiful evening across the GTA, clear and comfortable. Michelle Jobin's here with a look at the current conditions. It was a cool start, but it turned into a nice day.
Yeah, getting back up closer to seasonal territory, Nathan, after a cooler day yesterday and certainly cool conditions overnight. And we are looking at a beautiful evening ahead. If we take a look at the flow of air right out of the south, 26 kilometer hour sustained winds for Pearson Airport. So a little bit of a breeze out there. Low humidity, almost no humidity at this point in terms of our Humidex. Temperatures getting into the low to mid-20s throughout the region. Right now, we are sitting at 23 degrees at Pearson, feeling like 24 mainly. Sunny conditions, a little cooler at the Island Airport at 20 degrees, a seasonal overnight low of 15 degrees. Change on the way tomorrow, though. I'll let you know about that coming up. Back to you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle. One of Hockey Canada's biggest sponsors is pulling its support for the organization.
Scotiabank suspending its sponsorship as Hockey Canada deals with a sexual assault lawsuit. CTV's Raheem Ladani is live with the details. Raheem.
Well, Nathan and Michelle, Hockey Canada has more than a dozen international sponsors right now. But as more questions are being raised over its handling of a sexual assault lawsuit, we could see more companies start to distance themselves.
In what could be the beginning of a financial fallout, Scotiabank is pausing its funding of Hockey Canada as more details of a sexual assault lawsuit are uncovered. The president and CEO saying the sponsorship pause will last until we are confident the right steps are being taken to improve the culture within the sport, both on and off the ice.
You have to make the best decisions given the context you're in and given how your brand is perceived.
The move comes after Hockey Canada quietly settled a lawsuit where a woman claimed she was assaulted by eight members of Canada's 2018 gold medal winning World Junior Hockey Team at an event in London, Ontario. Scotiabank says it is also making a donation to the Canadian Women's Foundation, which supports victims of gender-based violence.
We want to end this violence. We want to prevent it before it even starts, and we want to make sure that survivors themselves get everything they need and they're believed and cared for so that this doesn't continue on and have that ripple impact that traumatizes so many people.
While this is the first sponsor to take a stand publicly, more may soon follow. 43% of Hockey Canada's funding comes from business development and partnerships.
You may have a couple of other major sponsors that follow suit. That's exactly what happened with Tiger Woods.
In response, Hockey Canada says, "We both respect and understand their decision regarding their sponsorship," adding it is on a journey to change the culture of sport. The federal government has also frozen millions of dollars in funding until it can confirm Hockey Canada did not use taxpayer dollars to pay the undisclosed settlement.
Now, aside from sponsorships, there's going to be another parliamentary hearing next month with more witnesses testifying. And Hockey Canada has also been asked to submit a redacted copy of the non-disclosure agreement related to the settlement. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thanks, Raheem. Turning to the passport problems persisting for people still waiting for one.
And the new hurdles for those desperate to make their way through the system. CTV's John Musselman is live with the latest on the situation. John.
Well, Michelle, we checked out two passport offices today. Downtown, the lineups are a little bit better, but here in Mississauga, it's still a bit of a nightmare for people. Staff were handing out water in the lineup outside the passport office on Victoria Street today. This is the shortest the line has been in weeks, and Canadians traveling within the next 28 to 48 hours are being given priority.
Traveling on Thursday, and so we're within the 48 hours. But I did apply for his passport in April. And
what, you never heard?
No, we've been calling and it hasn't been processed yet. So this is a second application. It's like 3 months we've been waiting for the passport.
I'm here twice already and I'm back again for the third time and hopefully this is the last time.
People not traveling in that 48-hour window are still getting processed, though. This woman is going to Punta Cana later this summer.
Now that I'm able to go and I'm able to pick mine up on July 13th.
So there was plenty of frustration out in Mississauga. This passport office on Burnenthorpe near Central Parkway has had massive lines stretching around the plaza for weeks, and today was no different.
It's very frustrating to have left your home at 2 in the morning to show up here just to line up and nobody pays attention to you.
People were camped out overnight to get inside, but many were sent home disappointed. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, people still lined up outside the mall were told to come back tomorrow.
It's just stressful.
Fair enough.
that they need, that the people who urgently need it get through. But it would be greatly appreciated if they could get through the people that are here.
Back on Victoria Street, this woman came to support her friend. She thought ahead and renewed her passport in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah, I was like, I need to get out of here. I don't want to get these lines, because I felt like after COVID there'd be a whole line and like build up, I guess.
The lineups are expected to continue in the weeks ahead. And if you see behind me, there's some chairs set up to the entrance of the mall. The passport office closed at 4, but we're told the lineup will begin here at about 10 o'clock tonight. So people are first in line when it reopens at 8:30 in the morning. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
All right, thank you, John. It's a big night for the future of Ontario's NDP.
Members are set to name an interim leader. It comes after Andrea Horvath announced she was stepping down on election night. CTV's Queen's Park reporter Siobhan Morris joins us live with the latest. Siobhan.
Michelle, this time tomorrow we'll know who the interim leader for the party will be and maybe get a sense of what comes next for the party in appointing their permanent leader.
It's time for me to pass the torch. To pass the baton.
After Andrea Horvath's tearful resignation on election night, the NDP is looking for a leader for the first time since 2009. Tonight, the party's council picks an interim leader.
Doug Ford is a hypocrite on these issues.
Longtime Toronto MPP Peter Tabbins is expected to fill in, but there's more up for discussion.
They will also vote on the timelines for the permanent leadership race. When will it happen? Will it be the end of this year, the beginning of next year?
Wright sees the timing as a balancing act.
You don't want to have it too short because you want to have people get a chance to get to know you. But having those lengthy year-long programs, frankly, are just are a drain on everyone when there's so much work to be done in the legislature.
Nurses are leaving the profession.
Kitchener Centre MPP Laura May Lindo has said she's contemplating a run for leader. So is the party's deputy leader, Catherine Fife. Davenport MPP and education critic Merritt Stiles is thinking about it.
I'm very proud of that.
Former Canadian auto workers boss turned city councillor and MPP Wayne Gates is mulling a leadership bid.
We have to get back to our roots. We have to get back to the working class.
Gates will need buy-in from his family, but feels New Democrats can be a strong voice.
We're going to make sure that everybody in the province of Ontario, whether union or non-union, whether you're a senior, whether you're those with disabilities, are going to prosper.
On the other side of the legislature,
as Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry,
newly installed Minister Graydon Smith is facing charges under the Endangered Species Act. These charges by an activist are connected to a road project while Smith was mayor of Bracebridge.
The allegation is that they've harmed and destroyed nesting grounds and habitat and eggs of the Blandings turtle, which is a protected species under the Endangered Species Act.
In a statement, Minister Smith's spokesperson says council heard the concerns raised and sought mitigation measures before moving forward with the project. Other Bracebridge officials, as well as the town, face charges. A lawyer for the town writes, "The fact is, the evidence will show that the town acted diligently and appropriately in completing required roadwork within the vicinity of turtle habitat." That lawyer is confident the charges will be dismissed when the case goes to court in September.
The penalty for these charges are very serious if someone's found guilty. For an individual, it means jail time and penalties of up to $250,000, $1 million for the town. But again, the town thinks all of this will go away in September. Reporting live, I'm Siobhan Morris. Back to you.
Thank you, Siobhan. Meanwhile, the Premier of British Columbia has announced he will not seek re-election.
Before I could ask my colleagues what their plans were for the coming 2 years and beyond, I had to ask myself that. My wife, Ellie, the love of my life, spent a week, I guess 10 days ago, on the west coast of Vancouver Island in my constituency, reflecting on what we wanted to do with the rest of our lives before I asked that question of my colleagues. And we came to the conclusion that I'm not able to make another six-year commitment to this job.
John Horgan will resign as leader in the fall after the New Democrats hold a leadership convention. He was diagnosed with throat cancer in November. Today, the premier said he's currently cancer-free after treatment, but his energy lags as the days go by.
Near Victoria, B.C., several people were wounded in an exchange of gunfire at a bank. Police in Saanich responded to a report of armed suspects in the bank. There are also concerns about a possible explosive device at the scene. One witness reported seeing two officers shot and a third person on the ground. Another says she heard at least two dozen shots. Two people are in custody. Another suspect may still be on the loose. Police in the area are being asked, or people in the area are being asked, to stay indoors.
Prosecutors called her conduct shockingly predatory. In New York today, Ghislaine Maxwell was sentenced to 20 years for sex trafficking. The 60-year-old British socialite was convicted in December. She was found guilty of recruiting and grooming four teenage girls to have sexual encounters with her then-boyfriend, Jeffrey Epstein. The abuses occurred between 1994 and 2004. The financier took his own life in a Manhattan jail cell in 2019 while awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges. Two survivors reacted to Maxwell's sentence outside the courtroom today.
We're happy to finally have some closure and start a new chapter in our lives. This has encompassed the majority of our adult lives, and it's time to move on.
As far as I'm concerned, actions speak louder than words. I've taken responsibility and accountability for my actions and the mistakes I've done in my life. I hope she does the same.
The judge also imposed a $750,000 fine, noting Maxwell never expressed remorse. The judge said she wanted the sentence to send an unmistakable message.
It's one of the deadliest human smuggling incidents in recent history. At least 50 migrants died after being stuck inside a sweltering tractor trailer. The horrific discovery was made last night on the outskirts of San Antonio, Texas. Some of the victims were from Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras. It appears they had recently crossed the border and were picked up by the truck to be taken to where they would work. The vehicle may have been carrying about 100 migrants, but the exact number remains unclear. Three people have been arrested so far.
In Ukraine, the search for survivors continues in the rubble of a shopping mall struck by a Russian missile. At least 18 people have been killed. 36 others are still missing after yesterday's attack in the city of Kremenchuk. Ukraine says there was no military target in the area, including at a nearby factory that was also hit. The strike is drawing international condemnation, with some leaders calling it a war crime.
Ukraine was the main focus of the G7 summit in Germany this week, and it will be the same as NATO leaders meet in Spain.
The alliance is now a step closer to expansion after a breakthrough on day one. CTV's Kevin Gallagher reports from Madrid.
With concern over the war in Ukraine dominating the G7 summit, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is promising to loan Kyiv $200 million to help the cash-strapped government.
We are looking at ensuring that Russia knows we will be there to defend democracy.
As Russia captures more ground in Ukraine and steps up its indiscriminate bombing campaign, world leaders are now shifting their focus to the NATO summit in Madrid.
We will agree a fundamental shift of deterrence and defense, with more high readiness forces, with more forward defense, with more pre-positioned equipment.
The Defense Alliance wants members to increase the number of NATO troops on the ground and raise the level of soldiers on standby from 40,000 to 300,000. Trudeau wouldn't say what this means for Canadian troops.
Like others are developing plans to be able to scale up rapidly. And those are conversations that I very much look forward to having over the next couple of days.
After Turkey initially objected to Sweden and Finland joining NATO, today the three countries reached a breakthrough agreement. Now the military alliance is poised to gain two new members near Russia's border.
This is perhaps the most important NATO summit in probably the last decade because of the discussion. What is NATO going to do against a resurging Russia that has now got some momentum on the ground?
NATO's Secretary General is calling on members to ramp up defense spending during these uncertain times. Canada is one of 20 defense partners falling short of the 2% of GDP spending commitment. Kevin Gallagher, CTV News, Madrid.
The Queen has carried out her second official engagement in 2 days during a visit to Scotland. The monarch met members of the armed forces at an act of loyalty parade in Edinburgh today. It took place in the gardens of the Palace of the Holy Rood House, her official residence in the capital. The military ceremony paid tribute to her role as head of the British armed forces during a week of events.
Coming up, a pair of Brampton twins with a degenerative eye condition are among the first to undergo a groundbreaking new treatment, restoring sight once feared lost.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, many Canadians are waiting to get a passport, but now there's another major backlog causing problems. The Nexus program helps speed up border crossings for low-risk travelers, but offices in Canada remain closed, and there's no word when they might reopen. I'll have that story just ahead.
Increasing cloud in the early morning with a low of 15 degrees. Tomorrow, a bit of a different day, a little below seasonal. Humidity building, 23 degrees with the risk of thunderstorms. And we'll see those very likely in the morning or also carrying over into the afternoon. I'll break it down for you coming up in your full forecast. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Service Canada is scrambling to catch up with massive delays in getting passports to Canadians. And now there's another major backlog causing problems.
Centers that process applications for the Nexus program, which allow pre-approved travelers to cross the U.S. border much easier, remain closed in Canada. Pat Foran has more on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Michelle and Nathan, thank you. Even though offices in Canada are still closed, the U.S. opened their Nexus centers in April of this year. There is a backlog of more than 300,000 Canadians trying to get a Nexus card, and if you want one, you'll now have to go to the U.S. to get it. Nexus is a Canada-U.S. program to help speed up cross-border travel for low-risk Canadians by land, air, and sea. It's especially helpful for those who travel to the U.S. often.
I travel periodically to the United States for work.
Rachelle Hum of Toronto applied for a Nexus card more than 2 years ago before the pandemic began. Before you're officially allowed in the Nexus program, you must take part in an in-person interview. Canada's Nexus offices closed in March of 2020 and remain shut down.
I'm unsure, when I'll be able to get an interview. It's very challenging to find one.
There is currently a backlog of more than 330,000 Nexus applicants. In a statement to CTV News, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security said, at this time, enrollment centers in Canada will remain closed. The Canada Border Services Agency told us Canadian citizens and permanent residents can book their enrollment interviews at any U.S. Nexus enrollment centers. Meaning if you want a Nexus card, you're unable to get one in Canada, you'll have to travel to a U.S. border city for the interview process.
It's been a bit of a disappointment as it's, just taking so long.
Margaret Cassidy, also of Toronto, has been waiting for almost 3 years to get her Nexus card. She finally has an interview set up for next month in Niagara Falls, New York, to try and finish her application.
Nobody really knew what was going on. I still don't understand why the Canadian side is not open.
It's not clear why Nexus offices in Canada remain closed when they've been open in the U.S. for months. Canadians who are unable to use the speedier Nexus lines are also adding to the backlogs and delays at border crossings and airports. And officials say they're in discussions with the U.S. when enrollment centers may reopen in Canada. If you're applying for a Nexus card, keep in mind there are more than 300,000 Canadians in front of you still waiting to get theirs. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Okay, weather-wise, today was a gorgeous day. Look at all the boats behind us, the sun sparkling off the lake. Maybe you might have wanted it to be a little bit warmer, but not much to complain about.
No, I thought it kind of hit the sweet spot. It wasn't too hot. You could still wear your shorts, and it was comfortable. I liked it.
Very comfortable day, low humidity, lots of sunshine. Things are changing, though, as we get into tomorrow. We have a little bit of a disturbance moving in that will be a weather maker for us. And that is something to keep in mind if you have any outdoor plans. We're sort of seeing one nice day, one rainy day, one nice day, one rainy day. So I'll show you how that plays out in our 7-day forecast. Weather is brought to you by Train, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. So let's take a look at where we're sitting right now in terms of temperatures. We got up to 24 degrees at Pearson Airport. A little bit warmer if you're in the eastern portion of the city, and downtown a little bit cooler, certainly at the Island Airport. But Humidex showing 24 while we're sitting at 23 right now. 26 feeling like 27 in Windsor, 21 feeling like 24 in Kingston. So not a lot to show you on our radar and satellite for here in southern Ontario, but lots of activity happening to the northwest of us as this frontal system slides through. Very active weather, showers and thunderstorms. And this is moving towards us as we head through the overnight. It's going to cross the Upper Great Lakes through the overnight period. And that is probably, if you're, say, in and around the Grey Bruce Peninsula, on the shores of Georgian Bay, these are areas that you're going to very likely see some activity in the overnight period or very early in the morning. And we here in the city of Toronto, in the GTA in general, will see a little bit of accumulating cloud as we get past midnight, certainly. But it's been a good one. We've had beautiful sunshine today. We're going to get back there for Thursday, so don't worry about that. 15 degrees overnight. Should be 16 this time of the year, so essentially we are seasonal. And this is what things are looking like around the region. Showers and thunderstorms, they will be heavier to the north of the GTA, certainly in areas like Muskoka, Halliburton, over towards the Ottawa Valley. But we're looking at temperatures, you know, a little bit on the cool side, a little bit cooler than today. We're not going to have the sunshine. The UV index will be about a 6. We'll have a lot more cloud cover, so it's not going to get us to where we need to be to warm up even more. But humidity is building in as we get into the next little while. So pausing here earlier in the morning, around 8:30, we could see some showers moving in, and then they will be pushing out by the time we get to the noon hour, but very likely redeveloping as we get later on into the afternoon. And certainly seeing that activity lingering a little bit longer eastern Ontario up through cottage country, and that's why we're getting a little bit more rainfall there. But looking like we're clearing out quite nicely for Thursday. So keep that in mind. It's going to be a gorgeous day. A lot of kids have the last day of school. So 23 tomorrow, feeling like 27 with thunderstorms. Thursday, 28 degrees, up to 30 for Canada Day, feeling in the mid-30s. Chance of showers, a beautiful sunshine, seasonal temperatures for the weekend. Back to you, Nathan.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Also tonight, a new twist on a Shakespeare classic. What if Romeo and Juliet had a much different ending?
On air, online, on every platform.
Escape tragedy by mere moments.
CTV News Toronto.
A story you'll only see here.
Winner of the Canadian Screen Award for Best Local Newscast.
We have developing details.
Watch weeknights at 6.
2 years ago, there was nothing doctors could do for patients with a degenerative eye condition known as LCA.
But now a new gene therapy treatment is restoring sight to patients, including a pair of Brampton twins. CTV's health reporter Pauline Chan met them today.
By day, Andre and Nathan's vision is good. But since they were toddlers, mom Christina Cordero knew their night vision was almost non-existent.
They would never get out of bed after dark. And then, you know, it would get to a point where they knew their surroundings in the dark.
LCA is a degenerative condition.
Basically a very early onset degeneration of the retina, and it's due to genetic defects.
I couldn't see the stars. I remember when I used to go to birthday parties and we used to play laser tag, and I used to have my mom go in with me because I wasn't able to see anything.
But on June 17th, Andre and Nathan underwent a new gene therapy treatment called Luxturna, which basically injects a good version of their defective gene into their left eye. And just days later, the boys are already seeing a difference.
I asked for a telescope 1 year for my mom, and when I got it, I couldn't really use it.
Now he'll be able to. Nathan and Andre are the second and third patients at SickKids to receive Luxturna, but there are another 38 Canadians who would also be suitable for this treatment. Health insurance through their dad was able to cover the million-dollar treatment, but Doug Earle of Fighting Blindness Canada says what other patients really need is provincial health coverage.
This treatment's been approved in over 25 countries. 19 of them have figured out a way for public access.
And he's hoping that Canada will make that 20. In the meantime, the Cordero boys will have their right eyes treated on July 8th. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
Ukraine's president welcomed another Hollywood heavyweight in Kyiv today.
Hi. Hey. Nice to meet you again. You're welcome. How are you?
That's actor and director Sean Penn meeting with Vladimir Zelensky. The filmmaker is in Ukraine working on a documentary about the war. He was also in the capital in March following Russia's invasion. Last week, Zelensky met with Ben Stiller, a goodwill ambassador for the UN Refugee Agency.
COVID-19 vaccinations were recently approved for those 5 and under in the U.S., so everyone's favorite red Muppet knew just what to do.
You were super duper today, getting your COVID vaccine, Elmo.
Yeah, there was a little pinch, but it was okay.
Elmo and his dad starred in a new public service announcement from Sesame Street. It encourages parents and guardians to get information about the vaccines. The PSA was produced in partnership with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and American Academy of Pediatrics.
Hollywood is looking to conjure up some more movie magic with the return of the Sanderson sisters.
Lock up your children! Yes, Salem, we're back!
The first teaser trailer for Hocus Pocus 2 has been released. Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najili are all back as the trio of witches. They cast a spell on movie audiences back in 1993 with the first film. The highly anticipated sequel begins streaming September 30th on Disney+.
Juliet without Romeo. That's the premise of a new musical currently on the Toronto stage.
And Juliet is making its North American debut, currently in previews. The joyful show is getting standing ovations every night. Our Andrea Case spoke to some of the people involved with the play.
Andrea. I did. Okay, first of all, Hocus Pocus over 30 years ago. I can't just imagine. Okay, Nathan, Michelle, I think audiences are ready for some fun. And that's the case once again where Toronto theater goers get the jump on New York. Now, while still in previews, this limited engagement heads to Broadway after its North American debut right here in Toronto.
Imagine if Juliet didn't die in William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. That's the premise in the reimagined musical And Juliet. Lorna Courtney plays Juliet.
It's so empowering. It's so lifting. I'm crying, but it's positive. It's positive. The things Juliet discovers what she values in life.
From the West End of London to the Toronto stage, And Juliet is currently in previews at the Princess of Wales Theatre. Written by David West Reed of Markham, the idea for the show came in a very unique way.
Well, I was concussed at the time. I had hit my head on a kitchen cabinet, and they gave me a list of Max Martin songs that I could pull from, and I just listened to, I made a playlist and just was lying in the dark listening to his music over and over and looking for a theme that could kind of tie it all together. And the idea of Max being kind of the biggest pop writer of today and Shakespeare being the biggest pop writer of his time seemed to, in a weird way, make sense together.
Those Max Martin songs are familiar to just about everyone. He wrote hits for Britney Spears, NSYNC, and Katy Perry, just to name a few. Sheridan College graduate and Scarborough native Brandon Antonio is part of the ensemble.
So now more than ever, I think it's so important for people to realize that because time is so precious, you might as well be spending it doing something that you love.
That's me doing something that I love. Okay, Max Martin is the most successful songwriter next to Lennon and McCartney. I found it interesting, while his music is very familiar to most of us, some of the cast weren't born or were just toddlers when some of these songs in the show were hits. And Juliet is on stage until August 14th. I'm Andrea Case reporting. Have a good night.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
After the break, a trio of Canadians hit the court at Wimbledon. Who is moving on and who isn't?
Stopping the spread in kids. Tomorrow on CP24 Breakfast, a warning for parents and how to spot new COVID symptoms. CP24 Breakfast, where Toronto gets its everything every morning.
I've heard rumors that there's a casino in the property, and it goes after hours, so that's a concern of ours here.
Updating our top story, 6 people were injured following an early morning shooting and robbery in Scarborough. 5 suspects broke into a commercial unit near Midland Avenue and Highway 401 around 1:30 a.m. Those who work in this area say an illegal casino operates out of the unit, though this has not been confirmed by police.
It's 7 days, but it's like 2 years in the planning. Like, I mean, it's supposed to be in August, but you know, years in the planning, you save up, and finally you can't go because you don't have a passport. You know, it's not fair.
Changes are being made to deal with the backlog in passport processing. Offices in Toronto, the GTA, Montreal, and Vancouver are now prioritizing people who need a passport within 48 hours. Service Canada says those with longer-term travel plans will be served at other locations.
We took responsibility for the settlement because this, the alleged activity took place under at an event under our responsibility.
Scotiabank is pausing its funding of Hockey Canada as more details of a sexual assault lawsuit are uncovered. The bank's president and CEO says the pause will last until steps are made to improve hockey's culture, both on and off the ice.
Remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know.
Airbnb is making its party ban permanent. The short-term rental company implemented a temporary global ban as the pandemic hit. The company says it worked, so it has decided to make it official. The company says reports of parties at listed properties have dropped 44% from a year ago. Party houses are also off limits. That's when people would book to throw large events for just one night.
Three Canadians were in action at the Wimbledon singles draw today.
Mississauga's Bianca Andreescu made quick work of her first round opponent.
Game, set, and match, Andreescu.
Andreescu dispatched her opponent in straight sets. The victory marks the first time the 22-year-old has made it to the tournament's second round.
It's another big upset on show court three.
Meanwhile, Montreal's Felix Auger-Aliassime was upset in his first round match by American Maxime Cressy. Auger-Aliassime lost in four sets, despite being the top-ranked Canadian in the tournament.
And Richmond Hill's Denis Shapovalov needed five sets to book his spot in the second round. He snapped a personal six-match losing streak with this victory.
An Ontario woman is one step closer to getting some worldwide recognition for her writing. The aspiring author entering an international competition to write a children's book. And as CTV's Stephanie Villela reports, she's earned her spot as a finalist.
You couldn't tell by looking, but Minerva was not a normal dragon.
Cheryl Martin reads from her manuscript.
Can you teach me?
It's a children's story she wrote called Better Than Fire, about a dragon who can't breathe fire.
She cannot find teachers to help her. She realizes she needs to leave her community and seek answers elsewhere.
She submitted this story into an international contest. A publishing company based out of Australia, Ethicool Books, asking aspiring authors to write a children's book inspired by this single picture.
This year's illustration was by an artist named Stella Mongatti. And then we were given a theme of education, equality, and the importance of reading.
The publisher says more than 5,000 people from across the world entered the competition. The winner will have their book published.
Other dragons set fires to forests.
Martin was chosen as a top three finalist.
When I got that email a couple weeks ago, I had to get my husband to read it like twice. Like, is this real? Did I actually make it to the final list?
The publisher says Martin's story was unique, with engaging characters and plot.
In a nutshell, it was just what we were looking for, something that was different, something that stood out, and something that we knew would resonate with kids.
It's now down to an online vote.
So we thought, who better to vote on what story they see come to life than the people that will end up buying our story and loving it.
Breathing fire was what dragons were known for, but Minerva missed out.
Martin says she hopes she'll get enough votes to win, but if she doesn't, she says the support she has received has left her feeling even more inspired.
It's just that boost to say, hey, I can be a serious author. I'm on a publisher's radar now.
Voting closes June 30th, and the winner will be announced July 4th. Stephanie Villela, CTV News, Cambridge.
Tonight we have a new breakdown of the airport backlog.
It's really bad out here compared to other places in Canada.
Punishing delays across the country with no quick fix on the horizon. That's later on CTV National News.
A fall tradition is returning to Toronto after a two-year hiatus.
The Royal Agricultural Winter Fair is celebrating its 100th anniversary. Today, we were introduced to Winston, the 2022 official ambassador for this year's fair. Organizers gifted the draft horse to Toronto Police in 1999, and he went on to serve for 17 years. The fair is thrilled to be bringing the country to the city in person again after a challenging 2 years.
We had the financial wherewithal to weather the last couple of years. This year, we'll continue to rebuild, and we'll be here for another 100 years. And frankly, we've just executed an agreement with Exhibition Place for another 5 years.
Winston will be there when the fair opens its doors at Exhibition Place on November 4th. Tickets are now on sale for the Royal Horse Show and the 100th anniversary show and gala.
Another good sign. So how are things looking tonight?
Well, we're looking at a pretty nice night. Seasonal conditions, not a lot of cloud cover until after midnight. We are looking, though, at a system moving in as we get into tomorrow. So let's take a look at current temperatures. We are sitting at 23 degrees, feeling like 24 in Toronto. One of the last days of school's tomorrow. Not quite, but almost there. And you'll want to pack the rain gear for the kids because we could see some showers. A little bit cool. Thunderstorms possible. Sunshine is back on Thursday. Heat and humidity builds. 28 degrees, 21 overnight. Into Canada Day, where we'll be 30, feeling into the mid-30s with the chance of showers. Beautiful weekend setting up for us as well. It's looking very nice. And a reminder, tonight's Lotto Max jackpot is an estimated $70 million plus 14 Max Millions.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Be sure to join Zarada Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website, and you can always watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us at CTV News, have a good night.
Good night.